morning. Welcome everyone that's listening online and those that are here at Liberty Vineyard. Let's start off with a word of prayer, though. So, Lord, in our hearts and in our lives and our minds, we know that there's really nothing we can do beyond what you do in our hearts and what you initiate. Lord, we can run ourselves ragged. We can spin our heels. We can just try to get traction in lots of things on our own, Lord. But unless you're behind it, we're not really going to go anywhere. Or we'll end up going in the wrong way. So, Lord, I pray that for those of us looking ahead, for those that are looking to the next step, for those looking to see where are you leading us, God, would you just make a clear path? Would you make a clear present move, Lord, in their lives to say, this is where I'm given traction, and move along with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. How many of you have ever known someone who's gone away to college, or maybe someone who's moved to another city, or is moved away, or maybe has been in the military for a while, or has had one of these, gotten married maybe, and has moved away because of that. But one of these big life events where you've been maybe apart from them for a while. And you see these people maybe after for a long time, you get together again. Maybe it's been 4 years, maybe it's just been a year, maybe 10 years, maybe more. You get back together with them, and you realize that in a lot of ways, they're probably still the same person you used to know, but in some ways, they usually have changed. Some things about them may have changed. A lot of times they may have matured. Different experiences, maybe positive or negative, may have shaped them in different ways. And they may just not be quite how you remember them. I mean, you may know someone like that, maybe even be yourself. You see, the events of life, those big moments when we go off and when we start to see ourselves in a new light, or when we start to experience new things, or when traumatic events happen, or wonderful events like getting married or having a kid, these things outside of ourselves, these things that we experience, can really shape us. And they can really affect us and change us, and that goes both positively and negatively. And God, he even often allows unpleasant and pleasant events to happen to us externally so that we will be changed, more and more shaped into the person that God has created us to be, more and more into the likeness of Christ. That's what we're going to be talking about today in part 3 now of our series, our sermon series on the spiritual maintenance, which are just practices for every season of life. You know, I believe that as a follower of Christ, we're going on a journey. We're, as Paul calls it, we're all running a race to daily be transformed, to daily renew our minds, to daily be challenged, to become more and more like Christ, to let him work in us and through us, and to daily be transformed, as he says, renewing our minds and in our body and in our actions and our attitudes, in our moods and in our relationships, to be transformed in the way we work and the way we play, to be transformed in the way we drive, as Nancy was teaching on this week, and in the way that we even treat strangers and people, maybe even enemies. Daily on the goal of one day being with Christ in heaven. But on this journey with Christ, hand in hand with him along the way, led by him, guided by him, we are going to go through hills. We're going to go through valleys. We're going to go through flatlands. We're going to go along gentle slopes. And these things, these hills, valleys, flatlands, and slopes are what I'm calling the seasons of our life. I put them in three categories last time: seasons of growth, seasons of waiting, and seasons of decay. Now, through all these seasons, despite the season, despite where that is, God is leading us. And he's shaping us. And he's calling us. And he's pressing us forward. And at times, he's holding us back. And he's saying, no, no, no. Wait. Just wait a little longer. But through it all, there are certain practices, certain regular things that we need to do in every season, despite where we are, to maintain our relationship with God and with others, to be able to sustain us if we're in periods of waiting, and to be able to restore us when we're in periods of decline. Now, I've called these maintenance items, regular maintenance. And I spoke to you last week. I gave you a little bit of an analogy with that about our regular maintenance that we do on our car, regular maintenance when I get called on to ask about pianos, but purchasing pianos and the regular maintenance that goes along with them. And I love it when God does something, that orients something that I can just, I don't know, I'm sure you'll see it too, but I love it when I see his hand on something that ties it together, and it just feels encouraging to me and to all of these things. But I was reading this week, I thought, you know, I should go and actually read what the definition of maintain is. So I don't know about you, a lot of times I think I know what something is, and I go and read it, and it just broadens my understanding. It broadens my knowledge of that word, which is, I enjoy language a lot, and so to me this is really helpful. But I want to read you Webster's Dictionary, the three definitions of maintenance, and see if you can kind of tie these in with what we've been talking about. And I did look at these after I wrote this stuff, so I thought it was neat. The first one is to keep in an existing state, to preserve from failure or decline. Second, to sustain against opposition or danger, to uphold and defend. And the third is to continue or persevere in other words, to carry on, to keep going through it all. And I so loved how those spoke, not to what I came up with, that's not really the point of it, but to the idea of how what God's heart is for us through these things is that through it all, he wants us to be maintained. He wants us to keep up our relationship, keep up a constant talks with him, constant time with him. He wants to keep up our worship and all that we do, and he wants us to keep up our trust and our faith in who he is and what he said he's going to do, that these are non-negotiables in our life. They may not feel always like we want to be there. We may not always feel like we're there, but God really wants us to have. That's what, I mean, most of the New Testament in the epistles and the different letters are about the maintenance of relationship and how to get back on track. If you feel like it's going this way, here's what to do to steer it back on course. And we hear things like pray without ceasing, give thanks in all things. In all of your life, consider it your spiritual act of worship, to give your life as a living sacrifice. Things like this. And so these were the three maintenance items that we've been talking about. The first one we spoke 2 weeks ago was seek God daily. Just regular time, intentional meeting with God through prayer, through reading his word, reading books about him, listening to podcasts of other sermons from churches about him, talking with other people about him, praying while you're in your car, when you're at work, just keeping up daily contact with your Father. Second, we talked about this last week, was to consider it all worship. Just to think that everything we do is meant to give God glory. The way that we speak, the way we treat other people, the way we react, our mood, our dispositions at different times, the words that we say, the actions we take, all of it, when we're by ourselves and when we're with others, are all meant to give God glory. Our whole lives, as I said last time, was a living sacrifice, which is a spiritual act of worship. And so today, we're going to be talking about the last item, which is trusting in the Lord's faithfulness. So I started off with that illustration of us going away, people going away for different things or having different life events. And when you meet them, you just know that they're not quite the same. And that may be a positive thing. It might be a negative thing. But I think the truth is we've all had this experience in our lives. Whether we can realize it about ourselves or not, or if somebody's pointed it out, I think we've all gone through this. And I don't think it happens just once. I think we continue to go through these life experiences that are going to shape us and change us in all kinds of different seasons, for good, sometimes for bad. But you see, we have a choice as followers of Christ. We have a choice to either be shaped and transformed by the world, transformed by our external experiences. If you think about something like the Grand Canyon or the rock formations that you see in Utah and some of the Badlands, or if you think about the way that the glaciers have shaped the countryside, you know, you see how over time the external forces wear away just a little at a time. But over time, those external forces can wear big changes, significant changes in the landscape. We have a choice to be shaped by the things that are external in our lives and just feel like we are powerless against them, as Amy prayed this morning. And just feel like we don't have any control over anything in our lives, and it just happens and it hits us and we say, okay, well, I guess that ate that away. And we can choose to stand on all kinds of other things, or we can choose to be shaped by God. We can choose to allow His plan for our lives, allow Him to shape us. And now God may use external factors. And He may use experiences and He may use relationships. But in good times and bad times, if we know that it's Him, if we're trusting in Him and trusting in His faithfulness in all these situations, we'll be able to maintain our relationship with Him through it all. And our relationships with other believers, we'll be able to maintain our heading, not just give up. Because we can trust that through it all, God is faithful. You know, it's easy to be knocked off course by major life events. It's easy to feel like they've just completely deterred you from where you were headed and to just give into that. And say, I'm just going to keep going. What's the point? I was headed the right way. Now I'm knocked off course. I might as well just go with it. And it's also pretty easy to be slowly edged away from the course, the path that we're on. As the Israelites experience, sometimes it's easy to get lost in the waiting, get lost in those desert periods where you don't really see the path. You don't really know where you're supposed to be going. You know God said wait and that you're going to be stuck. But after a while you think, I'm pretty sure God doesn't know where we are. And I don't know who this Moses is, but we were a lot better off where we were before. At least then we knew X, Y, Z. It's easy to get lost in those things. But through these times, God is our anchor. And He's our guide. He's our protector and our shield. Through every season, you see, He's there. Faithfulness, the idea that God is faithful, means that He's unchanging. It means that His word remains forever. God is fiercely loyal and steadfast. No matter the times, no matter what happens. See, what this means, the faithfulness of God, is that you can count on Him in every season. You can trust that what He said He's going to do, He will do. And I want us to really believe that this morning, because it's one of those things we hear and we can say, God's going to do what He said He's going to do. But I want us to believe that in our hearts this morning. And that's really where we're headed today, is to put these things not just as platitudes, not just as things we say externally, not just as spiritual jargon that we say sometimes, that, yeah, God's faithful. I know he is. I know he's going to keep doing it. But to really believe it in our hearts. And I don't mean that we shouldn't say it. We should. And I don't mean to make light of it. But you know what? A lot of times we say things and they don't really get past our mouth. You know what I mean? They don't get into us. And they're not coming from down deep inside. They're just sort of coming because we know they're right. See, no matter where you are, whatever season you're in, if you can think of a different season than these, if you say, I'm in, you know, none of the above season, okay. Wherever you are, God's plans for you are secured. They are. And you can trust him because of one very basic fact about God. He never changes. See, the quality of God, this quality of unchanging, this quality of faithfulness, part of his nature, Scripture is just resplendent, is just filled with words about this, with this truth. I'm going to read you a few. Psalm 89, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known throughout all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Psalm 100, enter his thanks with giving, his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name forever, for the Lord is good. And his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalm 119, 90, your faithfulness continues through all generations. You established the earth, and it endures. Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. But my favorite, one of my favorite descriptions of God's faithfulness is in Psalm 102. It's a psalm of David, and it's at the very end. Actually, I shouldn't say it's a psalm of David. I didn't write that down. But it's at the very end of the psalm, and it's one where he's been crying out to God, and he feels like he's at death's door. And the psalmist just feels overwhelmed by life and cut short, and just it's one of those psalms where he's just crying out to God. And so at the end of that psalm in verse 23, it says 102 verse 23, he writes this, in the course of my life, God broke my strength, and he cut short my days. So I said, do not take me away, my God, in the midst of my days. Your years go on through all generations. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth. The heavens are the work of your hands. But all of those things will perish, yet you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing. They will be changed, and yet they will, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same. Your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence, and their descendants will be established before you forever. Faithfulness is who God is. Throughout all generations, God has had a plan. From the beginning of time, when he laid the foundations of the earth into place and the universe was being spoken into existence, up until now, he's worked out his giant, great plan of salvation, his rescue plan for mankind, his rescue plan for you and for me. But the good news is that that plan, it's about a lot more than just saving. Jesus says in John 10:10, I came so that they can have life. But does he say, you know, you're just going to barely get by just by the skin of your teeth? You'll have life, but only just. It's not about just surviving, not about just living. He says, I came so that they can have life and that they can have it abundantly, fully. And I don't believe that he means for us to have it only when things are going well. And I don't believe he means that your life can only be abundant when you have everything you need and everything you want is done, when you have that right job, when your family's all worked out, when you live in the house you wished you'd live in, and when you got the car you've been waiting for, and when everything's fine, then I'm living that abundant life. I don't think that's it. I think he calls us to live an abundant life right where we are. I think he says that I called them so that they could have life, but not just, and I love it that he goes past that, that he doesn't just let our minds wonder about what life is, but so that they could have it to the fullest or in abundance, depending on the translation you have. He wants us to have it in periods of waiting. He wants us to feel like we have it not just when we're in growth, but also when we feel like we're in decline. He wants us to know that there's abundant life possible in the valleys and on the mountaintops. But it's in the valleys. It's in the deserts. It's in those periods of waiting. And it's the most challenging to remember God's faithfulness. It's the most difficult to trust that he really is doing what he said he was going to do and that he hasn't just forgotten. See, in those seasons, the desert seasons, the waiting seasons, in the valleys, it's easy for minds to begin to wander. It's easy for our minds to begin to doubt. Wonder if we heard God correctly or if maybe we missed it. Maybe God said something and I missed it and now he's forgotten about me. To think that maybe we did something wrong and now God has just left us. And then we're all alone waiting out there in the desert, waiting to see what's going to happen next. But this isn't at all what God promises us. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 through 8, Moses is speaking to the assembled Israelites just before he's going to go off to die, just before he's going to hand over command of all of Israel to Joshua, just before they're going to cross over into the promised land. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 31. And I want to read you this in verse 6, starting there. He tells them, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them." And in them, I want you to put whatever obstacle you think is in your place. Because them, to the Israelites, were all the nations that God said, "I'm going to drive those out before you." And they said, "I don't know how you're going to do it, because I see this giant Jericho, and I see these big walls, and I see thousands and millions and all of these people. I don't know how you're going to do it." And he says, "Don't be afraid and don't be terrified because of them." Just put in them is whatever you feel is your obstacle. "For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you. And he'll never forsake you." And then Moses summons Joshua. And he says to him, in the presence of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous. For you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance." But then he promises him this. "The Lord himself goes before you. And he will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged." And you can replace discouraged with worried. And you can replace discouraged with dismayed. In my own life,
from the time I was about 17 till the time I was 30, not walking with God. I spent a long time, and if I was better at math, I'd give you that number, so it's some number that's less than 30. 23. I don't know. how many? This is not making it to the recording for sure. 13, yes. I didn't ever claim to be a math major. I didn't say, oh, that's somebody else's job. But I spent 13's a long time. I spent 13 years walking away from God, and it was all because of one singular event. I felt like I had really trusted in God. I had put everything I knew about God into my heart, and I'd stepped out on a limb and tried to speak, to try to witness to somebody who was very close to me. I witnessed to him, and nothing happened. And in my mind, when it didn't happen, that meant God wasn't with you. And if God wasn't with you, it means you'd done something wrong. And I finally, I had a bad foundation with my beliefs, and it crumbled. And I spent 13 years trying to keep hold of that crumbling foundation. And I walked away a lot. And it was so easy to let your mind, to let my mind start to wonder and start to reach out and just grasp for whatever you can get a hold of. What's going to maintain you? What's just going to keep you afloat, keep your head above water? And everything, anything I could find, anything that would just help me to go, that was whatever I could get. Anything that was a replacement for God's transforming love, anything that was a replacement for God's heart, for that fatherly love, anything I could get a hold of, I wanted, because I was missing something in my life, but I knew for sure it couldn't be God, because God had let me down and he wasn't there. And I knew for sure that that wasn't the way I was going to go, because I couldn't trust God, because I didn't believe who he was. I didn't believe that what he said was going to do, he did. See, I lost my way because I didn't understand really who God was. And I didn't have a foundation for the faithfulness of God, for the steadfastness of God. Let me put in context for you that scripture that I just read in Deuteronomy. If you look back, if you go back to chapter 30, verse 10, he's still speaking. Moses is still speaking to the Israelites. Moses speaks a lot. He likes to tell them a lot of stuff. It's good, because it was foundational. But he tells them this: if you obey the Lord and keep his commands and all the decrees that are written in this book of the law, and you turn to the Lord your God, to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, he will delight in you and make you prosperous just as he did your fathers. And he says, now what I'm commanding you today, this is verse 11, isn't too difficult for you, and it's not beyond your reach. It's not up to heaven, not up in heaven, so that you have to ask who's going to ascend to heaven and get it. And it's not beyond the sea, so you have to say, well, who's going to cross the sea and get it so that we can have it and obey it? No, the word is very near to you. It's in your mouth, and it's in your heart, so that you can obey it. See, I set before you today, and he makes it really clear, you have a choice. I set before you today life and prosperity, or death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, walk in all of his ways, and keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord will God, your God will bless you in the land you are entering and are going to possess. Now, how are they going to maintain that? How are they going to obey? How are they going to do the laws and decrees when they get into the land and life starts to get hard and the enemies start attacking them and they start being made fun of, or they start running up against walls and obstacles and God's calling them to do ridiculous things like march around and don't use any weapons? How are they going to maintain all of this? Well, he kind of gives them a roadmap for it. And it's really one of those things that's so simple that we make it harder than it needs to be. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified, because God goes with you. He'll never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. And even in case they missed it, he then tells Joshua, because he wants to make sure that Joshua didn't miss it, be strong and courageous, because you're going with this people into the land, and if you're not doing it, they're not going to do it. I paraphrased there. The Lord himself goes with you. And he'll be with you. And he'll never leave you, and he's never going to forsake you. So don't be afraid. Don't be worried. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Fill in your adjective there. Don't be whatever it is that you feel like would pull you away from believing that God is who he said he is, and he's going to do what he said he's going to do, and you can trust in that. And just so we don't begin to think that this is one of those Old Testament passages that really applies only to that specific people group, and it only for that time, and it's kind of changed now, and we need to see it a different way, because you know, sometimes it's easy to think that's thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. Let's consider Jesus' own words. In Matthew chapter 28, you probably won't need to turn here. You'll know this verse. In Matthew chapter 28, this is the last words Jesus speaks in Matthew. It closes with these words. Some of you might know it as the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. He doesn't stop there, does he? And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. You see, if we believe that the Great Commission is for us, if we think we are supposed to go into all nations and baptize and make disciples, if we think that's true, what Jesus said, and that still applies to us, then this promise, spoken in the same breath, is also for us. He's with us always, even until the end of the age. So how do we practically, in a real way, maintain this trust in God's faithfulness beyond what Moses had said and declared that we need not to be strong, not to be afraid? What are some practical ways we can maintain this? I'm sure, I don't ever claim that I've got the exhaustive list on these things, so if you think of other things, that's fine. I've got five things I want to share with you. Stay connected to God's Word. See, this is your spiritual lifeline. God will speak to you. It's not a question of he might, or if you do everything right, he'll speak to you, or in really prosperous times he's going to speak to you, or when you're really hurting, then he's going to speak to you. He will speak to you. Can you always guarantee at the same time it's going to happen? You know just what he's going to say? No. God doesn't work that way. But he will speak to you. He might speak through his word. He might speak to you through prayer. He might speak to you through other people. But he will speak to you. And so that takes us to number two. Stay connected to other believers. Stay in community, in Christian community. See, maintaining healthy, godly relationships guards against wandering. Because if you're with a group of other people and you start to veer off track, they're hopefully going to notice, and they're going to say, hey, it looks like you're veering off track. Seeing other people and walking with them helps maintain your course, helps you be able to have somebody that you can share those intimate details of your life that you feel like you can't just share with anybody, but you know I'm walking with this group of people, and they're going to keep me in check. They're going to help me, and I'm going to be there for them. Staying connected in his word, staying connected with the body of Christ, with other believers. The third, I think, is to pray without ceasing. Now, that's a tall order. But what I really think he means is to develop a lifestyle of prayer. The more connected you are, the more in conversation with God you are, the more you allow yourself to hear from him, and the more you allow him to know your heart as you open up and say, search me, Lord, and know me. The more we do that, the more we're going to hear from him, the more we're giving him opportunity to speak into our lives and for him to hear our heart and let him change us as we're willing to open up and share where we are, where we're hurting, where we're struggling. The fourth thing, verify, pray about it, ask others, but finally, believe what God says. When you know this is what he said, believe it. And following this comes number five. I am a firm believer in this. I shared this with the men's group. It was part of what we've been doing in our men's Bible study. But I am a firm believer in writing it down. When I feel like God has spoken a promise in my life or has said something, I keep a journal. And I write them down. And is my journal neat and orderly? No, it's not. Because if you know me, you know that I have random scraps of paper that I stuff into different places. But it's somewhere. And as long as nobody cleans it up, I know where it is. But write it down. And here's why. You may say, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remember how I feel at this moment when God spoke to me that he's got the right person for me out there. That he has the job waiting for me that I need, that he's going to provide. When he said, I am going to heal this, whatever it is, and you say, I would never forget what God said. Yeah, you will. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one that happens to. I have a mind like a sieve. I say I'm going to remember it, but it starts to fade away, and I get overwhelmed with a billion other thoughts that run through my brain, and after a while, I can't quite remember how God said it. I can't quite remember what were the circumstances that surrounded it. And so I learned early on to write it down for myself, but here's why. So I can reflect on it and pray about it often. Even though I don't need to, I like to remind God what he said he's going to do. Which is really reminding myself what God said that he was going to do. During periods of growth, during periods of waiting, during periods of decay, open that journal up and read, this is what God said he was going to do. I've verified it. I've prayed about it. I've asked others. I know this is his promise for me, and it becomes your lifeline. It becomes your sustaining foundation because you're constantly connected to his word. You're connected to people, other people in the body of Christ. You're praying without ceasing, and it is best you can. You're verifying. You've written it down, and it will help you remember what God said he would do, especially when it doesn't make sense right at that very moment. It's the hardest for me to open it up and read those when I really feel like I'm not in that place right then, when I feel like, boy, none of this is true right now. And I read it, and it's so easy to have a discouraged mindset about it. Let it percolate in your brain. Pray about it. Stay in worship. Stay in prayer. See, these three maintenance items that we've been discussing over the past 3 weeks, the seeking him daily, worship, considering everything we do, worship, and trusting in his faithfulness, they will help you to stay connected with God and his promises in every season of life. They'll help you maintain a positive attitude, a healthy outlook, no matter the season, because we know that God is always with us. So I want to leave you today with a picture of what this looks like, what trusting in God's faithfulness in every season looks like. You may or may not need to turn with me to this. You may know it well enough that you don't need to. But I want you to, I'm going to read and invite you to read along with me Psalm 23. And I want you to just hear the words in the context of God's faithfulness in the seasons of life. I'm going to probably read this a couple of times. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy and love will continue and follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now let me walk through that one more time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters, and restores my soul. What is he saying? Sometimes he makes me lie down. It doesn't say sometimes I choose to lie down in green. Sometimes he makes me lie down in green pastures. Sometimes he leads me beside still waters. Why? He makes him wait. Why? Because he wants to restore his soul. To be refreshed. To be renewed. It says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What is he saying? Sometimes God's going to lead you through a valley. Sometimes he's going to lead you through a very dark valley. And you might find yourself in that place. That may need to be the way that you go. But what does he say? The promise is that he's always with us. And then he uses his rod and his staff, which are discomfort, I would think, to keep us on track. And because of that, they become a comfort. Why? Because we know that God's with us, correcting and leading and guiding us and driving us forward through the place we may say, I don't want to go. But through it all, God has a plan. And then finally, he says, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over or overflows. In times of abundance, in times of growth, times of real fullness, where you see the things that you're putting your hand to in the name of God are really coming to fruition. You're seeing the ministry grow. You're seeing your family grow. You're seeing things prosper. And yet through it all, he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In every season of life, God is faithful, and David knows it. He knows, and this is what I want you to know today. Through every experience of life, through every external factor, seasons may change. Mountains may crumble into the sea. But God is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You can count on him. Let him be your anchor. Let him be your guide through every season of life. Let's pray.